It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, alongside former Packer Brian Belaga. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The Brian Belaga Homer Hour, 1-800-990-3776, because he always would rather talk with you than me. The Carbulus Talk and Text Line, Liz is more. And yes, everyone knows the first question that Brian Belaga is going to ask. Yes?
Is the Miz pitching today?
The Miz is not pitching today. And even when the Miz is bad, he's good. As he gave up a couple of home runs and gave up three runs. But there are a number of stats to address. But right now, that is correct. The Miz is not pitching tonight. The Brewers are playing in San Diego against the Padres. Have you ever listened to or watched Bussin' with the Boys, Taylor Lewin and Will Compton? Do you know either of those guys?
I know of them, but I don't watch it.
Yeah, Lewin is an offensive. Was a tackle? Was he any good?
Lewin? Yeah.
Or Lewin? I don't even know. Yeah. How do you pronounce his last name?
Lewin. Yeah, Taylor was a good tackle.
Lewin. I never heard of him. And Compton was a linebacker. Anyway, they had Devontae Adams on as a guest, and a friend of mine said, you need to play what Devontae Adams had to say about Brian Belaga. And I said, sure.
Wow.
Because he said some very nice things about you, but in a very strange way. Now, if I would have thought that this would bother you, then I would have let you hear it ahead of time.
Okay.
Before the show, which, of course, we never do with anything.
No.
But that would be different. But I thought, no, I think Brian Belaga will like this. It started the headline, and you can look it up, was Devontae Adams reveals how hilarious Clay Matthews was. So there was a little discussion about that. And then the next thing you know, Devontae Adams is talking about Brian Belaga.
Brian Belaga.
Yeah.
And Brian was an ass. He might have been the biggest ass at that point. Brian's who I love the most, though, out of all of them at this point. I don't know. It's just like we connected, like doing all the derbies that we do with Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Every year we started going to derby a lot. We were in the same house.
Oh, so that this is a take time thing.
Yeah, it took time for
because
sure.
Because I remember training at IMG in Bradenton, Florida, and that's where Belaga would go.
Yeah.
And I remember just being around him. He was so grumpy the whole time. And everyone just gave me like, hey, dude, that's how Belaga is. But I remember thinking to myself, like, he's an offensive lineman. I'm an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
If this is what it's like, bro, I'm like, this is, I'm not going to fit in any room.
Yeah.
It's just a lot.
And now, Brian Belaga, of course, the interest we all have as human beings is with Devontae Adams. He didn't give us in detail, but it created my desire for a little more discussion. Did any of his comments surprise you?
No, I mean, those sound like all compliments, if you ask me. Those sound like all compliments.
Yeah, but in the beginning?
What was he referring to? His rookie year?
Yes, he was. And some of the, he talked about it where he had to do some of the things, and he didn't seem like he was the kind of guy who liked what you had to do as a rookie. You can, the whole thing is about 12 minutes, but.
Nope, nobody does. But at the same time, I think if he's referring to his rookie year, I mean, I would be dead honest. I'm not really going out of my way to speak to anyone besides the people that I probably need to speak to at that point. And if he was a rookie, I probably definitely wasn't going out of my way to hang out and talk to a rookie wide receiver. Now, I think My demeanor in the building, especially. So when was Devontae a rookie? What year was that for him?
We'll have to.
Was that 2014?
We'll have to look that up. These are things Jason Woolley would know.
Yeah, if it was 20, I think it might have been 2014.
I mean, he asked how many years that Clay Matthews had been in the league, and Clay said, just check the number of Pro Bowls. That'll tell you.
And well, Clay was a year older than me, so that would have been six for Clay.
2014 for Devontae Adams.
2014.
Yeah, so that would have been 6 years for Clay. So if that was 2014. I'm going to be dead honest. 2014, I was, and it's funny that LaJuan mentions the IMG thing too, because I met him down there in 2013 when I was rehabbing my ACL. So I was going in every day and rehabbing my ACL at that point. So no kidding, he caught me when I was not in a good mood every day. So that doesn't shock me a whole ton. But at the same time, 2014, that was a contract year for me. I was all business, man. Like it was, I'm not really looking to, like, I had the guys that I talked to, I was friends with, that I was close to on the team. I was all business. Like, I was coming back from an ACL tear because I tore it in 2013. So then that year in 2014, like, my head was down. I was worried. I had a one-track mindset. That's stay healthy and play good football. Like, some guys may take that as being an a-hole.
But not a major concern of yours, I'm assuming, based on your behavior. But I want to play this again, because what anybody, if I was going to ask Devontae Adams, and maybe he's this way with other people, it's rare that someone has this incredible change. As he talked about, he made it clear that he wanted to make sure everybody knew that he not only liked you, but like he liked you more than anyone else. Let's play it. Let's play it one more time.
Brian
Bulaga.
Yeah.
And Brian was an ass. He might have been the biggest ass at that point. Brian's who I love the most, though, out of all of them at this point. I don't know. It's just like,
even he felt like he had to say something. Like, what? You just called him an a-hole, and now you say you like it more than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think, because as then time went on, I think a relationship grows even, you know, you end up spending more time around the guy as you become teammates even longer than that year. And then he mentioned some of the things that we started doing outside of the building as well. And you get to know someone more on a personal level than guys showing up to work. You have a different viewpoint of that person, in my opinion. So, again, none of those things really hurt my feelings. I can be honest with you. None of those things hurt my feelings.
Can you think of somebody, you don't have to mention any names, I think of mine, like somebody that I thought that poorly of, even early. I don't know that anybody in that group is ever where I said, now the person's my favorite member on that team.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just once you get to know me, I think maybe you're.
We'll have to ask him. We'll have to get him on the show.
Yeah, maybe your mindset changes a little bit. I again, like I said, like I go when I would go into work, it wasn't really about chum up time and things like that. Like it was more of a business like approach for me. You could say I was this or that, which is fine. Like it never really bugged me too much. But I was there to work.
Let's get to Devontae. Now that you didn't know him that well, I don't know how much you know him, but then now that you're spending time with him at these events with Aaron Rodgers, I would ask you to now I feel like I know you. I know what your answer is going to be. Like, did your attitude change about Devontae Adams? Did you like him more? Because I'm assuming you're going to say, no, I always liked him the same. I didn't. But you take it away. I don't want to speak for you and be accused of that.
No, to be honest with you, like I didn't, there was, I mean, his rookie year, like he and I didn't talk. It just wasn't like we didn't speak much. Like, yeah, we were in the huddle together and things like that, but that's not when you're having personal conversations. you're playing football. You're doing things like that. I mean, he's in the wide receiver room. I'm in the O-line room. There's not really a bunch of, I don't know, conversations being had. And then when you go out to practice and even like before practice, like things like that, like I normally stuck to hanging around offensive linemen, stretching out. I was either with one of the strength coach getting stretched out. So like I wasn't mingling and doing things before practice. Like I showed up, I worked, went back to the locker. Like,
do you remember any conversations with him when you were out later on with all of the big deal Aaron Rodgers things? I don't know if it was the Kentucky Derby.
For sure. For sure. A bunch of like, I mean, obviously I think extremely highly of Devontae, not just as a football player, but as a guy. I think he's a phenomenal guy. So like, it's not that you say like, I don't know if this guy's going to stick around. He's a rookie. He's a wide receiver. I know how hard it is here for wide receivers to stick around because of how demanding Aaron is and what he expects of people. It wasn't a rookie. He wasn't a rookie lineman. It wasn't one of the guys that you're trying to enhance your room and make sure that your room is prepared and things like that. So there wasn't really much of a relationship between he and I his rookie year. I mean, and I could probably say that for every rookie that came in after my rookie year. Like, you know what I mean? You're worried about certain things. And if there's rookie linemen, yeah, you want to help them along and do what you can for them and help them succeed and do those things.
Oh, you are now getting popular. Now we have Brandon from Waukesha. He wants to talk to you. I don't know. I don't know how this could go. You're kind of in the center of everything. You're ready for it?
I get. I mean, hey, again, I never took anything as a. I never.
All right. I don't know what he's got. Comments. Brandon, what do you got for Brian Bulaga?
Yeah, so there was one time when I was probably in high school. It was probably 10th, 11th, 12th grade. So it was 2010, 11th, 12th, somewhere around there. My buddy and I went up to training camp to watch, you know, see all the guys and everything. And we see Brian Bulaga coming out. My buddy's uncle played at Iowa. We were O-linemen in high school. We were like, all right, here's our chance. We can say that, hey, Brian, O-line pride. And he walked by and said, O-line pride. So I see where Devontae's coming from with some of this cold shoulder stuff.
You don't have any idea where he's coming from. Come on. Nice try, though. Come on. What was it? O-line pride? I bet Brian Bulaga remembers that like it's yesterday.
Yeah, I definitely remember some people screaming stuff at me walking down to training camp. I'm sorry. I don't recall that. And again, like who did I say this to? It was Jesse Nelson on the opening day of training camp. He was all excited. What are the guys feeling? What are they experiencing right now? And I'm like, you're acting as if guys love going to training camp and they love going down to practice every day in 90 degrees and practicing. So like you catch guys at certain moments of, like, I don't know. I guess I don't know what reaction I was supposed to give in that situation. but sure. Yeah. I know I might have said O-line pride and laughed. Sure. I don't know what I was supposed to say.
Brandon. Hold on. Now, not to get that. So your dad played at Iowa, did you say? Make sure I had this right.
My buddy's uncle played at Iowa in the 90s.
In the 90s? What was his last name?
Yeah. I don't know. But we've been down there multiple times.
That would have helped.
We hang out with all those guys. Well, it's not. I don't know that Brian would have necessarily known him.
I bet he would. I think Brian Bulaga has a pretty good knowledge of the history within Realm. I mean, not 1940s. He's not going to go Bronco Nagurski. No. Who was that? Forrest Evashevsky. I don't know that that's an era that, but do I have it right? Yeah. Wasn't he a famous Iowa coach? Am I right? Forrest Evashevsky?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Find the name, Brandon, and then get back to us. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Business.
I mean, it's stories like that that are funny to me. I guess you would ask what response do you want? In the moment, I don't know what I could have said that would have made everyone happy. Looking back on it, I don't know. But hey, I guess that made a couple people really mad. That's the way it goes.
I would just, I mean, I didn't, I, I, I always thought, other than when Forrest Gregg was there, because he was nuts, they had three practices a day. I always thought that the training camp, I don't want to say it was insignificant, but there were times when the games meant more then. But you just don't spend too much time making overall decisions on stuff like that. But I could see, it's like, hey, Bulaga, yeah, it's work. It's business. This is my job. Like, come on. And
Well, yeah, because like, regardless of what year I was in camp, right? Like, I mean, I would imagine that was probably when I was younger, if I was walking down or riding a bike to camp. So that was when I was younger. Like, I hate to say this, like, you're worried about what's about to take place on that field. Like, you're thinking of what you just went over and right. Situations.
See, if I had been next to Brandon, I would have said, look, it, understand, he's always going to be bitter that he wasn't good enough to play at Wisconsin and had to go to Iowa. You got to just give him some slack on it.
Yes, I was very bitter that I didn't get the opportunity. Yeah, I was very, very bitter. But no, and the thing is, a cold shoulder. I mean, I think people may not understand exactly what happens in locker rooms day to day. Like, I think maybe people think there's 3 to 4 hours every day where we all just get to kind of hang out and like tell stories and do things like that. It's just the way the day's structured, it just doesn't work like that, especially with rookies. Like, normally they have their own lift group, so they lift at a certain time and things like, so like, you're just not around everyone at the same time and doing the same things. And I don't know.
I do want to let you know, and I don't want to change it away from you, but I'm sure you never had this experience where we would periodically do remote shows on radio, and some lady came up and I talked to her, and then she left, and my producer said, why are you so rude? I said, what do you mean? She was like, you didn't even talk. I said, I don't think it was rude, but it's 15 minutes before the show. We got to do a show. Like, what do you think I'm going to be? And he said, I just want to let you know, you may not be just how rude you are to people. I go, I don't know. Maybe I'm short with them, but I don't see how. So then the lady was there after. So afterwards, I would have said, so was I like rude or something before? And she goes, yeah, you were just incredibly short. It's like whatever I was saying didn't really matter. And I went, I had a show to do in 10 minutes. I didn't say, hey, lady, get out of here. But so anyway, I went out of my way after that to be every bit as short, but somehow, and later on he goes like, well, you're not really that much better.
Well,
I said, why don't you tell people the 10 minutes before we're going to start a show to wait until after the show? How am I after the show? He says, well, you're really good. All right, never mind. Well, I just move on. Well, but I was told I was rude. I don't think you ever had that happen. I'm sure you did.
I mean, listen, it's one of those things that, you know, you're going to obviously, I mean, to Brandon's case, you're not going to make everyone happy in every experience, I guess, you give during training camp. You try to do the best you can. But in that situation, which I don't remember, obviously, I don't know what response would have been good. I guess I don't know what response would have been suitable. So I apologize for that.
Not really. You're so nice. You apologize for that. You don't have anything to apologize for.
Yeah,
you apologize when you don't need to apologize.
Well, I mean, clearly it impacted he and his buddies pretty severely. I didn't come up with a better response in the time of walking past them in 5 seconds, you know, going to the field. So that's on me. If you say so.
Brian Bulaga, my member of the OSB, what is it like working with Brian Bulaga? I always remember he was the guy who would apologize, even when he didn't really need to apologize. Next. The Brian Bulaga home run. Yes, we have to get Davante Adams on. The greatest turnaround in the history of a teammate. From original comment to, he went from last to first. Brian Bulaga. Let's hear it one more time. This is on Bussin' with the Boys. Devontae Adams.
Yeah. And Brian was an ass. He might have been the biggest ass at that point. Brian's who I love the most, though, out of all of them at this point.
There you
go. I don't know. It's just
that's incredible. What a turnaround.
Because real recognizes real, man. Let's just put it that way.
You
let's
can
just
say
put it that way.
You could say however it is, because I don't have had many experiences in my life on either side where that has occurred. So you never know when someone you care about might need a place like Curative Care. For more than a century, Curative Care has been helping children, adults, and families across Southeast Wisconsin navigate developmental disabilities and find the support they need to thrive. This is tough. This is hard, and they help. They have it figured out. Curative Care doesn't just provide therapy. They help families every step of the way, from early childhood through adulthood. They connect parents with resources, provide guidance during challenging times, and create a community where people truly belong. Life is a bunch of curveballs. This place is a constant. They get it. They help. If you have a family member, friend, coworker, or neighbor who may be looking for answers, support or services for a loved one with developmental disabilities, curative.org. Curative.org. All right, to the Friday night, whatever that is. Why you bring all those fans there and have the longest practice? I can't tell you how many things about that were just absurd. They need to have banana football. And I put Brian, but they need banana football in this event. So you have somewhat of a practice. Or if you have all those fans there, and this, I'm going to put you in charge of, I don't know what you can do in football to create banana football, but you have all these people, and the practice was, has it ended yet? Is the practice over, or is it still going on now?
What?
They're putting up with how whatever you do, because the fireworks come at the end. They could practice for 5 hours, and people would still stick around. I want you to give some thought to, and I'm not making this up, they need banana football. If you can make baseball entertaining as banana baseball has, you can certainly do it. My idea was a play where you were allowed two footballs. So you have you snap the two different people. Something in the stands, you know, where – but anyway. It's just one practice. If I don't even know if it's even that.
It's no secret that I wasn't a fan of Family Night, because I tore my ACL in Family Night in 2013.
Right.
So, like, ever since I tore my ACL in it, I was like, this is I despise this. I don't. Maybe I did one more. Maybe I did one more.
Did you dislike it before? This was what? The third one then would have been? I don't know what number.
That was 2013. So, that had been my fourth one. That was my fourth one. I didn't like it because, obviously, that was at the time then, you know, we'd go practice, you know, throughout all training camp, and it would be no tackling. And then we'd go to family night, and it would be live. And guys are doing wild stuff out there, right? Like, they're just, things are...
Were they doing it because they were just tackling, or because it's family night and everybody's watching and it's viewed as...
It's everything together. It's all right. That.
All those.
All those things mixed up in one.
An injury waiting to happen, it entered your mind, not that it would be yours. Like, crazy things could happen because of all the factors. Fair?
Correct. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Normal. Yeah. And that's what I normally would think about, you know, could happen in a situation, you know, and you do a goal line period and guys are just getting rolled up and things like that. It just so happens I was on a goal line play that I get rolled into by Eddie because the tight end was laid off the ball and the snap count and the defense, like, it was just an absolute train wreck. And, you know, you tear an ACL in it. And ever since then, I'm like, all right, like, yeah, I don't like family night. There it is. it's never been a favorite of mine. Now, I understand the concept of it and why you do it. You want to get guys out on that stage in a big atmosphere with a full crowd and to feel a little pressure before you go play your first preseason game. I understand all that. Like, I get the concept. But I was, I was just never a fan of it.
So you would like the concept of on family night being banana ball?
Yeah, do maybe something fun and for a few periods, so to speak.
Yeah, try to make it entertaining and understand the concerns that you have.
Yeah, and I mean, I honestly think that obviously the coaches and general manager and those guys understand those risks. I mean, I don't think that that's any surprise. I think after I tore my ACL that year, I think Ted stopped live tackling, period, in that drill. I think Ted put a stop to it. Everyone's aware of, obviously, what could happen in those circumstances in that environment, and everyone's riled up and things like that. And you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, you know, to entertain that many people, you know, it's not a real game, so people aren't entertained by that aspect of it.
No, my other option other than Banana Ball, which maybe you'd have as part of it, is the practices you have with another team.
Yeah, joint practice.
Joint practice, yeah. To me, would be fantastic, and I don't know why they haven't done that yet.
But I would agree. I think that would be more – that would be the ideal situation.
Because it is already intense because of the way it's set up, as you've stated to us.
Yep, and you can have the same exact setup as you do in Family Night, but you bring in a different team. You bring in a joint practice team, and that environment is probably electric in that stadium. So that would be more something enjoyable, honestly, if the fans got to see that. And then you sell out Lambeau Field for a joint practice. Like, that's, you know, that's one thing. But it's just, I guess my thing would be, would the opposing team ever want to do that? Because then other people can come in and watch the practice, and that's their practice tape that they're getting. So, like, it's just one of those situations that, from a competitive edge standpoint, you may not be able to get a team to agree to do it.
If that's the case, then scratch that idea.
I mean, I'm just looking at all scenarios.
Because I don't want it then, if they're that concerned, then I don't want it to change and take away whatever value it had to fans there. Like, everybody's going to get this tape, and so then you, if it's that way, I would then, I'd go even more to Banana Football if you're going to have a Family Night. But because the biggest, this is a question, but the biggest practices by far are the two team practices.
Oh, yeah.
And even more so than ever before, given what's happened to preseason games and even the other practices and how little football there is. So
I agree. Those are the biggest opportunities for guys to show their you get it in the 11v11 versus Packer, right? Like, you could see guys' progress, but you'd get their true progress when you see them against opposite competition, you know, like another team. And, like, when I did it my first year with LaFleur, and the Texans came, like, that's when, after that, like, that was my first time ever doing it. Like, McCarthy didn't do them, and Ted didn't like them. But so that was my first time doing it. I didn't know what to expect going into it. But once we got done with those two sessions, I felt like, okay, like, I feel good about my technique. I feel good about where my game is. I feel good about my knowledge of the offense against the live defense.
And the competition was legit enough that you were justified to have that opinion.
Yes, correct. All right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because you would have never felt it if it had been different in terms of what you were going through, like, been just a regular practice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that year, you're going against Zadarius and Preston, who are obviously really good pass rushers and things like that, but it's still just a regular training camp practice. And then you inject in Whitney Mercilus, who played with the Packers, and J.J. Watt, and the Texans defense, which was an impressive defense. They were good. They were a really good defense, and you bring them in, and you get to go against that scheme and that defense and those types of players. And you walk out of there, you're like, all right, I feel good about where I'm at.
My fear, in addition to your set about the tape, is that somebody gets hurt and that ends that.
Well, that too. That's true. 100%. Like,
but
it's walking a fine line of what you need to get done as a football team to feel ready and get your work in. But also, if you're going to have a stadium full of people, you know, justifying them coming out and spending money and doing that. But I think Family Night will be sold out.
Yeah.
Regardless.
No, and I think, yes, the people is much less. I'm just convinced banana football is definitely the way to go. I wonder if you were playing now, if you would say, all right, I'm just not going to be ready at the start of the season. They've set this up in a way that makes that impossible. I'm going to do the best I can, but there's some understanding or expecting that it's, I don't want to say not what you want to be, or that you're accepting not being ready at the start of regular season. Is that made up on my part, or do you think that's somewhat what players accept or believe to some degree?
You know, I don't know if players feel that way. I think coaches may. I think coaches accept that, to be honest with you. I don't know if in a player mentality you can get yourself to that point.
You never felt that when you were playing. You were always ready for the start of the regular season.
I felt I was, whether or not I was or not. You know, that's a different question about how the technical, you know, when you
right,
turn
but I
out
mean,
week
things
one.
Change year to year to year. It wasn't, there wasn't a change occurring that had to, that forced you to change how you viewed the start of the season.
No, because I still think that when I was playing, I still think the rules were somewhat more lenient to more contact, more padded days, more this and that. I think there was more of that where you got your work in one way or another. You were getting those reps in. So I never really experienced kind of the way they do practice now and how you would get yourself ready. I've also never had an OTA that was like they do OTAs nowadays, right? Like we talk about it, how they're not doing anything. The OTAs under McCarthy, especially earlier days, man, they were physical. They were fast. Guys were going 100 miles an hour. Like it was, you need to be ready to practice. Like it's a legitimate practice, but you're just in helmets. So like you need to be ready to go. That's obviously the complete opposite now. So like you were getting tested obviously in the spring, and then camp came around, and you know, the camps were tough. Like people, like, and that's why when people always ask me, you didn't love camp, it's like camp was hard. Like
I want to interrupt. We can't comprehend, as gifted and talented as you were, that anything is that hard. How do you explain hard to us?
I think physically and I think mentally, the hours you spend at the building in meetings and just going over stuff and just installing and then watching tape.
It's not like that in the regular season too?
Well, it's hard in there, but like there's certain, like once you get into a regular season schedule, and that's why I always say it, in season or once at literally at this point in training camp, you kind of shift to a in-season schedule. And then camp becomes easy. I always said Family Night was the line of demarcation where camp, I felt, was over, and we're now getting into more of a regular season feel. The regular season's hard. Obviously, the games are physical. You're sore, you're tired, but there's something about the mental aspect, too, of training camp, along with the physical aspect of it, that you're going against the same guys every day. It's just a grind on you, right? And it's day after day after day after day. You're sleeping in a dorm. You're doing all those things because they don't sleep in dorms anymore. That's gone. Like that's not even something they do anymore, which is crazy to me. It's just unbelievable that they don't sleep in the dorms.
Why is that crazy to you?
Because that's been going on forever. And then when they went away from it, I thought I would never see it. Like, right? Like, I thought that was just something.
I always thought that was part of the bonding, or, you know, the guys are millionaires and you're, I don't know, it's like a sleepover for when you're 10. But that helps create an environment where you're forced to interact or have normal, take it away. I don't.
Well, it depends on what time guys get back to the dorm. And I mean, that's all, I guess. Per person, but it was all part of the mental test of camp, right? Like not having a regular routine. The practices were different. You're doing different things. You're installing different things every day. You're going against different, like you're going against your defense, but they're installing completely different things. So you're seeing completely different looks that are unscouted that you're just kind of, you're thinking, you know, but you may not know what, like you haven't seen it before. They're bringing pressures, they're bringing different alignments. There's just a lot of stress that is involved with it. And you always just looked at it too. I mean, at least I did. And I know a lot of the guys that I was close with, especially offensive linemen, you always feel like you're competing for your job. You're always trying to put good tape on film to make sure that you're guaranteed to stay around. Like, so like there's the stress of that, showing it another year, I can do this. Like I belong here. I can be a valued member of this team. So like, it's just the stress of that. And
that's got to be offensive linemen. There's no way Aaron Rodgers is thinking that, or some of the top wide receivers are thinking that.
Well, those guys probably don't think that, which because they're not getting replaced. I can assure you that.
All right, like, so they know that. All right, we have a question. Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Will Keyshawn Nixon be the Packers' number one quarterback for week one of the regular season? Simple yes or no. We'll get Brian's vote on that as well. Fisco Auto Body, family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do, it's who they are. It's a family business. They're still doing it. Family still running it. Family still fixing the cars. Imagine how many years they've been doing this and the age they start by the time they get to your car. That's one of the reasons they're so good. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Any damage, Fisco has you covered. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin, on Forest Home in Franklin. Yes, you'll go there, you'll like them, and eventually you might get around going, hey, maybe I should thank Homer. Fisco, 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 to remember the name. Brian Bulagas, vote. Will Keyshawn Nixon be the number one quarterback for week one of the regular season next?
Brian Bulaga.
Brian Bulaga.
Yeah.
And Brian was an ass. He might have been the biggest ass at that point. Brian's who I love the most, though.
One of the great turnarounds in the history of humanity. Did you ever think you would be labeled that? One of the greatest turnarounds in the history of humanity. Devontae Adams talking about Brian Bulaga.
I mean, if someone thought that of me, I wouldn't sit here and say I'm shocked. But again, there's no ill will to his statements. I know exactly where he's coming from. Actually, my feelings aren't hurt. We'll put it that way.
Well, no, and I don't, that's the reason I put it. However, anything starts, if somebody then says I'm their favorite, whatever. I don't care how you get there.
But it's, you know, sometimes the first impression, or don't judge a book by its cover, is a smart phrase. Sometimes that is. Yeah. I didn't have any, like if you were to ask me what I thought about Tay when he was a rookie, I certainly wouldn't have called him that. But I'll put it that way.
Certainly wouldn't have called him that. No kidding.
No, I wouldn't have called him that. But at the same time, like,
I don't believe you've ever called anybody that in your whole life.
I'm sure I've called someone that.
All right. Okay. I stand corrected.
But at the same time, like, what'd you think of him? I thought he was a good player. Thought he, you know, had a lot of potential. And then obviously the second year comes around and you start to know a guy more.
And I would emphasize, as you've taught me, people don't understand how limited interaction you can have with some players on the team, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, it just, you're in your meeting room with offensive linemen right. Majority of the time. Like, yeah, we were in an offensive meeting together, but like, there's not group powwows happening in the offensive meeting. It's an offensive meeting.
All right, you're teaching us that. We're learning the inside. Keyshawn Nixon be the Packers' number one cornerback for week one. I just assumed everybody would still say yes. And in fact, this kind of like a Twitter poll question, 55% say no. And I understand I need help because I now think training camp is meaningless and that they've decided who the people are going to be and whatever goes on. There's so few workouts and so stuff going on. I just think everybody primarily is going to end up where they started, regardless of whatever the workouts say. And I could easily be wrong, but that's how I view it. And clearly, people are looking at it differently because of him playing some with the number two unit on Friday or whatever.
Is that what happened? Is that why is that why that's a discussion?
Yeah, he didn't.
No, I mean, I think he will be the number one corner come week one. I don't think. Right. I don't see how he's not out there game one, week one, snap one. I just don't see it.
Right. And my problem is I don't think anything's happened and can happen of any enough importance that would change that. Even if he was horrible, this is a training camp, and they just, to me, do so little. But I'll let you address that after the break. I want to talk with summer coming to an end and everyone getting back into a routine. No better time to put yourself back on your own priority list. Milwaukee weight loss has been one of the best decisions I made. I didn't ever think it would be like this. And that is what? What's Milwaukee weight loss? A plan where I eat less and I'm happy eating less. And I've been doing it since January. I started at 229. I'm now at 205. I'll be 205 or somewhere around there forever. Why? They have put together, some patients lose 20 to 30 pounds. Many lose up a pound of fat each day. No intense workouts. You have to do nothing. I don't even have to walk. It works. I eat less. I enjoy eating less. I'm fine eating less. And so I'm down 25 pounds. And a back-to-school promo. Enroll with Milwaukee Weight Loss by the August 31st. Save $200 on the completion program. Again, it doesn't take me all this time. Imagine any program where you eat less and you're happy eating less. Next, free consultation today, 262-235-3980. They may set it up differently for you. You might find other things that work. But in the end, I'm confident you'll say the same. I eat less, and I'm happy eating less, thus I weigh less. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Tell them Homer, Josh, or ESPN Milwaukee sent you. Fourth quarter with Brian Bulaga. Next. And we close with Brian Bulaga on the offensive line and different people in different places and family night. And again, you got to help me because I don't care. I think all things considered, if people are healthy, it's going to be the people that everybody thought. But if Aaron Banks or if somebody's hurt, then you got to start looking at other options. Take it away.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're trying to get a plan together to prepare for anything. And it seems like there's actually a competition at right guard, it appears, which I didn't necessarily expect. Maybe there'd be early in camp, maybe a little rotating, but it seems like that's going to be more often now. So that caught me by surprise.
But you've addressed that when they did it in the past, that you weren't as crazy about the idea then.
No, I don't like rotating. Yeah, I don't like rotating. But that may be what we get. I mean, if Banks isn't healthy, they got to figure out a plan to get guys ready. And that's going to be an interesting thing to see over the next couple weeks, because if Banks isn't ready to go week one, guys are going to be starting that haven't played any NFL games, it appears.
Right, and you got enough changes or unknowns. Yes. Yep. And remember, yes, Davante Adams will come or be on this show sometime in the future. I'm not sure how soon. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, as usual, given his excellence, we're always a little late. ESPN National in progress.